Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents Pit Row with your host Ralph, where we will review the upcoming NASCAR weekend's races and go over the last weekend's races, what happened, what we saw on the tracks, and build towards DFS picks. Let's jump into our latest episode. Pit Row, Episode 2. It's your host, Ralph. Let's get it cranking. Talk about some racing. That's what we're here to do. Hopefully you enjoyed the first episode. Had a great week last week of racing, and we look forward to another great week this week. Before we get off and running, as it were, couple of intangibles. Again, I'm Ralph. This is a new thing. This is a quick, like half a podcast, right? Like a quick update each week, just to kind of familiarize us as we wade into the world of NASCAR and daily fantasy betting for NASCAR purposes, probably on a FanDuel or DraftKings or some such. So again, to reiterate last week, not really giving picks yet, really feeling that part of the game out. Not about just telling you guys something without being an expert, still working on it. But we want to parlay the success that we have here at Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment with football and baseball into something tangible for NASCAR. So we're going to pick up something that I've always liked and I've always loved and have been interested in. I grew up with my old man, drag racing cars, liking Funny Car, all that stuff. Knew those names in the house, right? So very cool from that perspective. And when I think about NASCAR, I ultimately have been intrigued for a while. We're talking about Fords and Chevys and Toyotas racing, right? This is like souped up Camrys and Mustangs and Camaros racing. That's pretty cool to me. The other thing is, these next generation cars, as we talked a little bit about last week, are the closest thing that we've seen to street legal. These are pretty interesting cars that they have right now as they've moved forward into a new generation of automobile for safety purposes, for entertainment purposes, for a lot of various reasons. But again, that's why we're here, to kind of start to unpack all of this. And if you're new to this podcast, which obviously you are, this is only the second episode, everybody's new. But if you're new to Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, welcome to you as well. I realize some of you may have listened to The Heart of the Order or The Process or maybe even What Happened, our true crime podcast. This is Pit Row, though. And so, as I said, new to all of us, but some of you may even be new to the company. So a little bit of where you might find us, www.tigerbombsae.com. That's where you'll find the other podcasts that you can primarily listen to here at Tiger Bomb. But if you want to listen to this podcast, be sure to catch it anywhere in an app that you listen to your podcast already. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that. Just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. Like and subscribe, yada, yada, right? Then you'll be able to catch this Pit Row podcast if NASCAR is your thing. But if you also like and subscribe, you catch those other podcasts too. So if you're into football, but you had found this first, or baseball or something like that, great. We're going to be connected now, okay? So a little bit of how we can all stay together. And before we even talk about this week, we do want to take an opportunity to touch on just a couple of things. Number one, perfect time to be getting into talking about NASCAR as the sport is growing. The sport is becoming more diverse team owners. My man Michael Jordan, partner with Denny Hamlin now, 1123. There's a lot of this. We've got Bubba Wallace. And so it's not just a black thing either. It's like there's more drivers coming from different aspects of racing too. I really like when you get those guys that have come with pedigrees from other various types of formats of racing. And so it's a big, cool mix at this point, and NASCAR is making a concerted effort to move this thing forward into daylight, make this something that is entertaining to watch, entertaining to be at, and something that is easy to follow along with. And so, you know, don't knock it till you try it is what I'll ultimately leave that as. But some of you that have been riding with NASCAR know exactly what I mean. The sport is progressing in an ultimately very exciting way, which is the whole point of all this, right? And so even if you look at it on a race-by-race basis, I know to a lot of people, we're talking about you know, what seems like going in a circle for a lot of times, but it's more than that, I promise you. There's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of, you know, situational aspects that make this something that is riveting to watch. And if you're new to it, start with the last 50 laps, man. If you don't like that, you shouldn't be watching the racing. All right, so let's talk about Fontana last week and then do a quick little preview of our race this week. There were 32 lead changes last week in Fontana, not something that you usually see, the two-mile track that they have, but just speaks to the competitiveness that this next-gen car is breeding. Tyler Reddick ran very well. He was up. He won the first stage, and traditionally with this race, that's a marker of who's going to win the race. Did not finish, but such a great day for him and his car. Obviously, off to a hot start this year, looking to keep that going this week. A lot of people think he might make some more noise. But got into it a little bit with Eric Jones there down the stretch. Eric Jones broke free just a little too late to catch Larson. I thought his car ran well. I thought he made some fantastic moves down the stretch, but just got around Reddick and sorted that out a little too late. Larson had a great move on Suarez with two to go. It looked like Daniel Suarez might actually win this race, but Larson at the last minute, the midnight hour, coming through in the clutch, winning the race. This is a fantastic win for him. It was a great race. It was a hard race. We see a lot of cars spinning out. We saw a lot of damage. We saw a lot of bumper to bumper action. There was just a lot of competitiveness in this race. I don't have a lot of notes like I did with with Daytona from this part of the stage and that part of the stage. This was more gritty. This was just who's going to survive to the end type of scenario. And as it happens, the Chevys sweep the top four spots, as we saw the Mustangs do a little better last week. Larson and Elliott finish with a little beef. Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson get into it a bit there. Larson pushes them into the wrecks them a little bit. They say, so here's the thing. Chase Elliott and company, now this is a team, right? Like these teammates and Hendrick, they believe that they have a quintessential team, and they've been a really tight unit so far, or so they say. But there was some visible beef here. Larson admitted it after the race. Elliott believes that he wrecked him on purpose, right? Put him in the wall on purpose, because it would have behooved Larson at the point to have a restart. He's saying he wrecked him on purpose, hard racing. Larson says that's not the case. There was some beef there. Elliott was definitely hot at his teammate after this race. NASCAR likes this stuff. This is the intriguing part, is that, the way these tracks are set up, the tracks that they choose to race, the confines that we live in, the way they're making these cars, it all breeds itself to this. So, and when you think about some of these younger drivers, from my perspective, these guys seem to drive it a little harder than some of those older names from back in the day, right? Like these guys tend to be a little bit more competitive with it behind the wheel. But as it were, Chevy swept the top four spots, but not without a little bit of the drama, so it would seem. These next-gen cars are providing durable, but we saw copious issues with this vehicle. A lot of drivers flat-spotted themselves, so their tires. There's a lack of an inner lining on the next-gen tire that led to cars coming to rest with their underside touching the surface of the track. You get that backside flat like that, they're going to tow you off. This is ultimately going to lead to you being down several more laps. This is literally what happened to Blaney last week. Ryan Blaney ran a great race, kept getting to the front. It looked like he was going to be able to make some moves in the end. But when they would come into pit row, he would lose a lot of traction. Well, maybe not Blaney, but there are other folks that this is exactly the case, though, is that you wreck out a little bit or something happens with that back flat. And all of a sudden, you have to be down a few laps. I think this was the case with him. Like, down a few laps. Like, you lose so many laps with this process. And so, a different track, you're not going to be able to maybe have a chance. Like, some guys did here, but a lot of guys just did not have a chance because of the problems with this flat spotting. NASCAR's looking at it, obviously taking their notes. The other thing about Blaney, though, was I was troubling to put him in that specific scenario because we know more specifics about what happened with them. This team, as he was saying, is having problems with the tire, like the lug nut is one lug nut. There was five lug nuts on the last card. This next gen card is one lug nut. Theoretically, this should make things easier. For whatever reasons, Blaney's team would lose several spots every time he came in. Like, this guy would come in at the top of the field, lose like 10, 12 spots throughout the pit, which is crazy when you think about they're having a harder time with the one lug nut than they did with the five. What's even crazier on top of that, which, you know, this all needs to be talked about, is this Penske Racing team. So these guys are, this is an indie company too, right? So there are guys in Penske that do this, right, for the indie races. Like, those cars all have the one lug nut. And so you would think that they would have more of an edge than some of these other teams, because they could go to, you know, those guys and say, hey, how do you do? You have a whole crew that does this effectively for those IndyCar races. So very interesting stuff right there. They're going to have to figure that out a little bit, but not without problems this week, even though that car seems a little bit more durable. The Toyotas ran into that same problem just like everybody else, but with a little added twist for them. They put a thick screen in front of the radiator due to high winds and dusty conditions. The screens probably worked too well, though. They choked down some horsepower. So, you know, what you're looking at on your screen is these guys are spending the day with those, you ever see those leaf blowers or whatever? They're blowing debris out of the car, out of the engine. Those screens worked a little too well. So, Truex, Busch, Hamlin, but all these guys had mechanical issues last week. Kyle, you know, Busch also, like I said, that's a big problem. I know that the Toyotas are feeling a little embarrassed. I know there's a little bit of we haven't really shown up yet. And so you got to look for a better opportunity for them this week to show what they have than what they've been doing. But that's a little bit of what we saw at Fontana. Larson with some great racing at the end there to take it. Not much else more to say about that. If we look forward to Las Vegas, though, we got the Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend, the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube. This is the first 1.5 mile D-shaped oval of the year. Guys, this is a big deal because this is a big test with these sorts of tracks. You need to rule this track to win the championship series. They also, this is a big indicator of who might run well for the year, who may have a chance at the cup. And so a lot of eyes typically on this Las Vegas track. It's the first of two races here. We do a spring and we do a fall race here. But the spring race is really looked at as a telltale sign for who may come out hard this year. Mr. Fontana last week, Kyle Larson won last year this race. This was his first victory. Then he went on the roll 10 times last year on his way to a cup victory, so cup championship. So obviously a guy that's well regarded with respect to his chances to win again this week. Kyle Busch is his home track. He's going to show up. They've had some problems last week. Like we said, the Toyotas want to get it back on track. What better way to do it than this race here? Kyle's won here before. He's not led a lot of laps here. I think in 9 races, he led like 30-something laps, even though he's got a couple of victories. So precarious, a little bit to say the least, but he's doing, you know, he's going to have a lot of exposure to the track. Doing his first truck race this weekend, excuse me. He can do 5. He's doing his first this weekend. He's probably going to win that truck race. So if you know, this is Friday. If you want to look at something, it's FS1, the Camping World Series Truck Racing. Awesome stuff. But then Xfinity on Saturday, and then on Sunday you have the Sprint Cup. And so Kyle should show well. He will want to do well at his home track. NASCAR, for their part, you know, trying to adjust to this new car too. Hearing the teams, right? Figuring, a lot of these guys figuring, well, maybe last week they wouldn't have had so many issues had they had more time, you know, to work this out in practice. So NASCAR is going to allow additional lap time for practice. We're going to do 35 minutes for all cars instead of 15-minute sessions in groups. And so hoping to alleviate some of the issues with unpreparedness, maybe I'll use that word, from last week. But ultimately, it should be a fantastic race. Again, not going to give DraftKings picks because I'm still working the kinks out on strategy-wise. How do we take something like this down? But it's going to have to be multiple lineups like we do in some variations of football. Just going to have to figure out exactly how to spell it out systematically. Like, we win that systematically. I don't want to talk to you guys about something that I can't repeatedly do. And so we'll wade into that part. But until then, we'll get to know it. We'll be more familiar with it as we talk NASCAR each week. Do I have any picks for this week? Dark horse, I'm going to say Harvick. I really think that he can have a good race. He's won here before, but he could potentially set himself up well going into Phoenix, which he's also done well at. And so I'd like Harvick and company to show up. But Logano, Truex, Kyle Busch, these are guys that, you know, wouldn't be surprised if they take it. Larson, obviously, has to be the favorite. Just trying to give you guys some other names. Reddick's come out so hard this year that let's say Tyler Reddick has the opportunity to show well again this year. So, or this week, like he did last week before the where he's out of the race. Chase Elliott, coming back with a vengeance this week. I like it. I like it. I could feel that rumbling. I think he may want to show up and do something. And if he's running up there with Larson, they should be able to help each other out for all of that. But those are probably the guys that I concentrate on. And then maybe if I do DraftKings, I fill it in with some other guys around that I'm maybe a little familiar with. But I would be surprised if one of those guys, I know that's, you know, we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like six guys. But I'd be surprised if one of these guys didn't win this race. I'm going to take more time in between now, Friday, and Sunday and try to narrow it down. If I had to say, obviously, Larson, if I had to say the dark horse again, Harvick, and if I had to say somebody besides the two of those that would win this race, Truex or Logano, and I'm going to go ahead and go contrarian and lean Logano. But that's what I've got for you guys this week. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk again next weekend. We'll be looking forward to Phoenix, and we'll be reviewing this Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Have a fantastic weekend, guys. Watch some racing. Peace. This has been Pit Row. If you'd enjoyed it, drive back through next week. We'll do it again. Another Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment production.